Chapter 43. Heart, he idolized still, as far as such a form of love was compatible with his nature, showed that from policy or otherwise, he meant to act up to the requirements of the position into which fate appeared determined to drive him. That's neither here nor there, apostrophe he said. It is a point of honor, to do as I am doing, and there's an end of it. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes. Only I thought you used not to care over much about your first bargain. Apostrophe apostrophe, I certainly did not at one time. One is apt to feel rather weary of wives, when they are so devilish civil under all aspects, as she used to be. But anything for a change, Abigail is lost, but Mitchell is recovered. You would hardly believe it, but she seems in fancy, to be quite another bride in fact, almost as if she had really risen from the dead, instead of having only done so virtually. Apostrophe apostrophe, you let the young pink one know that the other has come or is coming. Apostrophe apostrophe, cui bono? Apostrophe apostrophe, the steward meditated critically, showing a portion of his intensely white and regular teeth within the ruby lips. I cannot say anything to her that will do any good, apostrophe he resumed. It would be awkward either seeing or communicating with her again. The best plan to adopt will be to let matters take their course. She'll find it all out soon enough. Apostrophe apostrophe, Manston found himself alone a few minutes later. He buried his face in his hands and murmured, "Oh my lost one! Oh my Cytherea! That it should come to this is hard for me. 'Tis now all darkness, land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness." Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, the artificial bearing which this extraordinary man had adopted before strangers ever, since he had overheard the conversation at the inn, left him now, and he mourned for Cytherea aloud. 4. The 12th of February, Knapwater Park is the picture at 11 o'clock on a muddy, quiet, hazy, but bright morning, a morning without any blue sky, and without any shadows, the earth being enlivened and lit up rather by the spirit of an invisible sun than by its bodily presence. The local hunt had met for the day's sport on the open space of ground immediately in front of the steward's residence called in the list of appointments. Old House, Knapwater, the meet being here once every season, for the pleasure of Miss Aldcliffe and her friends. Leaning out from one of the first floor windows, and surveying with the keenest interest the lively picture of pink and black coats, rich colored horses, and sparkling bits and spurs, was the returned, and long lost woman, Mrs. Manston. The eyes of those forming the brilliant group were occasionally turned towards her, showing plainly that her adventures were the subject of conversation equally with her more than the chances of the coming day. She did not flush beneath their scrutiny. On the contrary, she seemed rather to enjoy it, her eyes being kindled with a light of contented exultation, subdued to square with the circumstances of her matronly position. She was, at the distance from which they surveyed her, an attractive woman comely as the tents of Kedar. But to a close observer it was palpable enough that God did not do all the picture. Appearing at least 7 years older than Cytherea, she was probably her senior by double the number, the artificial means employed to heighten the natural good appearance of her face being very cleverly applied. Her form was full and round, its voluptuous maturity standing out in strong contrast to the memory of Cytherea's lissom girlishness. It seems to be an almost universal rule that a woman who once has courted, or who eventually will court, the society of men on terms dangerous to her honor cannot refrain from flinging the meaning glance, whenever the moment arrives in which the glance is strongly asked for, even if her life and whole future depended upon that moment's abstinence. Had a cautious, uxorious husband seen in his wife's countenance what might now have been seen in this dark-eyed woman's as she caught a stray glance of flirtation from one or other of the red-coated gallants outside, he would have passed many days in an agony of restless jealousy and doubt. But Manston was not such a husband, and he was, moreover, calmly attending to his business at the other end of the manor. The steward had fetched home his wife in the most matter-of-fact way a few days earlier, walking round the village with her the very next morning, at once putting an end, by this simple solution, to all the riddling inquiries and surmises that were rank in the village and its neighborhood. Some men said that this woman was as far inferior to Cytherea as earth to heaven. Others, older and sager, thought Manston better off with such a wife than he would have been with one of Cytherea's youthful impulses, and inexperience in household management. All felt their curiosity dying out of them. It was the same in Carriford as in other parts of the world. Immediately circumstantial evidence became exchanged for direct. The loungers in court yawned, gave a final survey, and turned away to a subject which would afford more scope for speculation. XV. The events of 3 weeks. 1. From the 12th of February to the 2nd of March, Owen Gray's recovery from the illness that had incapacitated him for so long a time was, professionally, the dawn of a brighter prospect for him in every direction, though the change was at first very gradual, and his movements and efforts were little more than mechanical. With the lengthening of the days, and the revival of building operations for the forthcoming season, he saw himself, for the first time, on a road which, pursued with care, would probably lead to a comfortable income at some future day. But he was still very low down the hill as yet. The first undertaking entrusted to him in the new year began about a month after his return from Southampton. Mr. Gratfield had come back to him in the wake of his restored health, and offered him the superintendence, as clerk of works, of a church which was to be nearly rebuilt at the village of Tolchurch, 15 or 16 miles from Budmouth, and about half that distance from Carriford. I am now being paid at the rate of £150 a year, apostrophe he said to his sister in a burst of thankfulness, and you shall never, Cytherea, be at any tyrannous lady's beck and call again, as long as I live. Never pine or think about what has happened, dear, it's no disgrace to you. Cheer up, you'll be somebody's happy wife yet. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he did not say Edward Springrove's. For, greatly to his disappointment, a report had reached his ears that the friend to whom Cytherea owed so much had been about to pack up his things and sail for Australia. However, this was before the uncertainty concerning Mrs. Manston's existence had been dispersed by her return, a phenomenon that altered the cloudy relationship in which Cytherea had lately been standing towards her old lover, to one of distinctness. Which result would have been delightful, but for circumstances about to be mentioned. Cytherea was still pale from her recent illness, and still greatly dejected. Until the news of Mrs. Manston's return had reached them, as she had kept herself closely shut up during the daytime, never venturing forth except at night. Sleeping and waking as he had been in perpetual dread lest she should still be claimed by a man whom, only a few weeks earlier, as he had regarded in the light of a future husband with quiet assent, not unmixed with cheerfulness. But the removal of the uneasiness in this direction by Mrs. Manston's arrival, and her own consequent freedom had been the imposition of pain in another. Utterly fictitious details of the finding of Cytherea and Manston had been invented and circulated, unavoidably reaching her ears in the course of time. Thus the freedom brought no happiness, and it seemed well nigh impossible that she could ever again show herself the sparkling creature she once had been, apt to entice a deity. Apostrophe, apostrophe, on this account, and for the first time in his life, Owen made a point of concealing from her the real state of his feelings with regard to the unhappy transaction. He writhed in secret under the humiliation to which they had been subjected, till the resentment it gave rise to, and for which there was no vent, was sometimes beyond endurance. It induced a mood that did serious damage to the material and plodding perseverance necessary if he would secure permanently the comforts of a home for them. They gave up their lodgings at Budmouth, and went to Tolchurch, as soon as the work commenced. Here they were domiciled in one half of an old farmhouse, standing not far from the ivy-covered church tower, which was all that was to remain of the original structure. The long steep roof of this picturesque dwelling sloped nearly down to the ground, the old tiles that covered it being overgrown with rich olive-hued moss. New red tiles in twos and threes had been used for patching the holes wrought by decay, lighting up the whole harmonious surface with dots of brilliant scarlet. The chief internal features of this snug abode were a white fireplace, enormous cupboards, a brown settle, and several sketches on the wood mantel, done in outline with the point of a hot poker, the subjects mainly consisting of old men walking painfully erect, with a curly-tailed dog behind. After a week or two of residence in Tolchurch, and rambles amid the quaint scenery circumscribing it, a tranquility began to spread itself through the mind of the maiden, which Gray hoped would be a preface to her complete restoration. She felt ready and willing to live the whole remainder of her days in the retirement of their present quarters. She began to sing about the house in low tremulous snatches. I said, if there's peace to be found in the world, a heart that is humble may hope for it here. ... 2. The 3rd of March, her convalescence had arrived at this point on a certain evening towards the end of the winter, when Owen had come in from the building hard by, and was changing his muddy boots for slippers, previously to sitting down to toast and tea. A prolonged though quiet knocking came to the door. The only person who ever knocked at their door in that way was the new vicar, the prime mover in the church building. But he was that evening dining with the squire. Cytherea was uneasy at the sound, she did not know why, unless it was because her nerves were weakened by the sicknesses he had undergone. Instead of opening the door, she ran out of the room, and upstairs. What nonsense, Cytherea! ... said her brother, going to the door. Edward Springrove stood in the gray light outside. Capital, not gone to Australia, and not going, of course. ... cried Owen. What's the use of going to such a place as that? I never believed that he would. ... I am going back to London again tomorrow, said Springrove, and I called to say a word before going. Where is? ... He has just run upstairs. Come in, never mind scraping your shoes, we are regular cottagers now. Stone floor, yawning chimney corner, and all, you see. ... Mrs. Manston came, said Edward awkwardly, when he had sat down in the chimney corner by preference. Yes. ... At mention of one of his skeletons, Owen lost his blitheness at once, and fell into a reverie. The history of her escape is very simple. You know, I always had wondered, when my father was telling any of the circumstances of the fire to me, how it could be that a woman could sleep so soundly as to be unaware of her horrid position till it was too late, even to give shout or sound of any kind. Well, I think that would have been possible, considering her long wearisome journey. People have often been suffocated in their beds before they awoke. But it was hardly likely a body would be completely burnt to ashes as this was assumed to be, though nobody seemed to see it at the time. And how positive the surgeon was too, about those bits of bone. Why he should have been so, nobody can tell. I cannot help saying that if it has ever been possible to find pure stupidity incarnate, it was in that jury of Carriford. There existed in the mass the stupidity of 12, and not the penetration of one. ... Is she quite well? ... said Springrove. Who? Oh, my sister, Cytherea. Thank you, nearly well now. I'll call her. ... Wait 1 minute. I have a word to say to you. Owen sat down again. You know, without my saying it, that I love Cytherea as dearly as ever. ... I think she loves me too, does she really? apostrophe, there was known enough of that worldly policy on the subject of matchmaking which naturally resides in the breasts of parents and guardians, to give him a certain caution in replying, and, younger as he was by 5 years than Edward, it had an odd effect. Well, she may possibly love you still, apostrophe he said, as if rather in doubt, as to the truth of his words. Springrove's countenance instantly saddened. He had expected a simple yes, apostrophe at the very least. He continued in a tone of greater depression, supposing she does love me, would it be fair to you, and to her, if I made her an offer of marriage, with these dreary conditions attached, that we lived for a few years on the narrowest system, till a great debt, which all honor and duty require me to pay off, shall be paid? My father, by reason of the misfortune that befell him, is under a great obligation to Miss Aldcliffe. He is getting old, and losing his energies. I am attempting to work free of the burden. This makes my prospects gloomy enough at present. But consider again, apostrophe he went on. Cytherea has been left in a nameless and unsatisfactory, though innocent state, by this unfortunate, and now void, marriage with Manston. A marriage with me, though under the materially untoward conditions I have mentioned, would make us happy. It would give her a locus standi. If she wished to be out of the sound of her misfortunes, we would go to another part of England, emigrate, do anything. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'll call Cytherea, apostrophe, said Owen. It is a matter with she alone. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.